my input to fee was already incorporated. No input? Make a motion?
Somebody. Motion to approve the minutes as amended?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Carried. Takes care of that. Okay. Next, updates to receive. Okay, who? Just kind of run through and see which ones we want to take a look at. Funding update, yeah, we'll take a look at that. At least the first three, and then we'll get those done and we'll take a look at the other ones and see if we need to do those. So, funding update?
All right, I'll run through that. So for WMATA, a couple different announcements. Some is good, some is a little challenging. One of the good ones, we'll start with that, is Metrobus started running the new NH2 service. Started on October 23rd, and the first week or so is actually pretty good turnout for the initial week. Part of it might have been the fact that it was the same weekend as the Marine Corps Marathon. They had some of their staging and some of their bigger events over at National Harbor, so they had a nice spike towards the end of the week. That one, it's moving on track. It's a new service. It takes a little time for it to grow to what its potential is. One of the things we're going to be keeping track of is how the ridership goes, how things are performing. The big challenge is going to be when the MGM Casino opens up. What does that do to the operations? Make sure that what we need to adjust, things like that. So we'll be working with Metro to keep an eye on that. SafeTrack, as you know, SafeTrack's been going on for several months now. The next ones that are going to impact the city are in early January and then in February. We don't have exact dates yet, but we've just started meeting again internally to walk through the mitigation efforts and coordinate with WMATA how are we going to deal with the challenges of that and make sure folks know what their options are to get around. The bigger one that's been in the news a lot more is the draft FY18 budget. The current, as it stands right now, they're looking at a budget deficit on the operating side of $290 million. So what they've put forward is a budget that basically spreads the pain across all the different funding sources of how to plug in that $290 million gap. It includes reduction in force, basically layoffs, right-sizing the rail and bus service, fare increases across the board, potentially Metro Access, bus, and rail. Some management actions like internal efficiencies that they can achieve, and the biggest one I think that for the city is going to be a potential increase in the jurisdictional subsidy. So as of right now, that's the proposed budget that's out there. They're going to be doing public outreach and public hearings early next year after they've released the capital budget. We'll be getting the draft FY18 capital budget in early December, very late November, early December, that first week. Any questions on Metro, WMATA?
No.
Yeah.
I guess a minor thing. Mm-hmm. As they're moving forward, I know the jurisdictions will be weighing in on preferences. Does staff desire any feedback from the Transportation Commission on preferences or priorities with regard to, I guess, putting preferences to WMATA on this balance of the different actions that they're thinking about applying?
The feedback that WMATA will be soliciting will be from anybody and everybody. It'll be from the public. It's obviously will be going to all of the elected boards of all across the region. There'll be a lot of public outreach. I don't think they're opposed to any input from organizations such as this. I'll defer to Carrie if comment in the past.
I think, Paul Smedberg is the representative to WMATA from the city council. So if the commission wants to take some action, what I would recommend is the commission providing a letter to the city council with any kind of recommended guidance that then could be passed on. That would be one way to do it, probably similar to the ways we do with other funding recommendations that the commission's recommended to council. And maybe that's appropriate to do that through the budget process as we start to present to you. As soon as the city manager releases his budget, we'll be bringing that to you to summarize later this winter, and that might be an opportunity for the commission to provide a letter to city council with some guidance regarding the WMATA budget as well as the city budget.
Yeah, that'd be the, because that's where it would end up in the WMATA board there. Yeah. Let me ask a question. I've never been able to find that out. Do the jurisdictions have an increase in gas tax to fund WMATA?
The individual jurisdictions of Virginia? Are you talking about the whole region? Because each region has
either. I don't know. I guess the state would have to okay that.
That's
right?
Correct. Yeah, it's a state level decision for the gas tax. But
does Alexandria have that?
Have a gas tax?
That goes directly to pay for WMATA?
I don't think that is the case.
Do you know, Jan?
So the way the funding formula works, when the city does receive funding through the state.
Right, right.
Through DMV and through DRPT, but there's no discussion right now of let me back up. On the question that you just had previously about whether the Transportation Commission could provide input to the city, the answer is absolutely. You are certainly, we welcome any input or guidance from you. The challenge is that what we are going to get back from WMATA is not going to be very flexible. It's not like we're going to be talking about advocating for certain bus routes. It's going to be the funding that we have to provide is going to be based on the formula. So there's not going to be a lot of flexibility there. You have the third item on the consent calendar, sort of the manager's guidance about the TIF and where that's going.
Yep.
The part of the reason I'm here tonight was to be able to answer questions about that if they come up from the commission. The challenge that the city is going to have is that right now we have a $6.5 million gap in what WMATA has proposed from what the subsidy was last year.
Right.
And we're gonna have to figure out how we cover
it. We're gonna pay for it.
We would certainly welcome the commission's input if you have ideas for how we can do so. But the bottom line is we're just not going to have a lot of flexibility. If you could say, for instance, this bus route is less important to us, or if there were some regional things that you could tell us, I think that would potentially be helpful. But at this point, it's just a formula, and we're going to figure out that big number.
Okay, so their proposed operating budget, including getting input on it, is not, like, I guess what I was unclear about was whether there was room for their formula, like the ratios, 50% from here, 30% from there, is flexible at all.
No.
There's
okay.
No discussion on changing the formula at all.
Okay.
Probably the most...
And that, Jerry, that goes back to your question, it's like what other funding sources are being looked at for WMATA, and the answer is lots, right? I mean, there's the COG report that's come out that all the chief executives of the jurisdictions have released. There's a lot of talk by the WMATA board, there's a lot of just general chatter about different ways of funding. But right now, for the next fiscal year, we are left with
that
having to figure out how to absorb the additional funds based on the funding mechanisms that we have.
Yeah. Okay. Do that. And what it boils down to is what was discussed at the retreat is here's that gap. How do we fund it? And we are in the process of giving city council the letter saying here's our priorities, and if you have to reduce something, here's, we discussed that last time. So,
right.
That's our primary input.
Right.
We can send a letter to WMATA, but the impact would be because they have their formula. And
That said, all of us in this room know and understand that what happens with WMATA, it's going to change over the next couple months and what we ultimately settle on.
Right.
We we know we have been preparing council for several years that the subsidy was going to go up. The question is how much, really? And then once we finally settle on that number, how do we defer other things? We go deeper into the well with the state money. Is there a tax rate increase to cover it at the city level? Those are all the things. And in the council guidance that they provided to the manager, the council gave the manager, and I don't want to get too far ahead of you because we're getting into item three here, but
yeah.
Essentially the council gave the manager flexibility to recommend whatever he wanted to recommend. That includes tax rate increases, but it did not, it maintained the 2.2 cents, but it did not, I know the commission has been very interested in asking the manager to look at other mechanisms of funding WMATA other than using the TIP. The council did not direct the manager to change that at all. It just gave the manager the flexibility to either keep WMATA in the TIP, but also to look for other mechanisms.
Basically, everything's on the table.
Everything is on the table.
Is that clear?
Yep.
No, it's been coming up the last 3 years. Same problem there. Okay. I don't think it's really that effective to send a letter to WMATA because it's not going to change anything. It make us feel good about it. Here's our priorities, but.
I'm sorry, and I don't mean to, Mr. Chair, just to, I don't want to interrupt you, but as we just got budget guidance from the manager's office yesterday, staff, our department, all departments across the city are being asked to submit our budgets now. We are being asked to submit budgets that demonstrate 5% reductions.
Okay.
Again, it's not unexpected either. We knew that was coming.
Right.
What would be helpful, certainly, with the commission as we refine what the ask is with WMATA, as we refine what the manager's budget will likely look like, we will be back to you as soon as we possibly can.
Okay.
We'll try to give you a menu of some choices that
more detailed. Sure. As we go further down the line. Okay. Thank you.
And just a follow-up. Generally, wasn't there a tax increase that was voted in?
Last year, there was a tax rate increase and council was very clear that they wanted that to go on the capital side into infrastructure. So, a little bit different on the WMATA side, right, where we are funding the WMATA operating budget.
So the whole increase is going to capital, like City Hall?
Everything
school.
That council voted in last year went onto the capital side. And essentially what they told the manager was the same thing. We want you to hold the line on operating spending. That's why on the operating side, we're getting a 5% reduction. But on the capital side, we are making some trade-offs and we're moving some things around.
Okay.
I'll just run through the rest of these. VDOT revenue sharing is basically where we apply for funds every year is through a formula program that goes to street repairs, the reconstruction and maintenance. That's kind of an ongoing program. The FY22 and 23 smart scale, we brought that to the commission a couple months ago. Everything's been submitted. Right now, over the last couple weeks, we've been working with DRPT, the Department of Rail and Public Transportation, and VDOT to answer any questions they have, provide additional information, additional data. So the idea is that they're going to keep moving forward with their analysis, and hopefully in December we'll know about what projects are going to be moving forward and advancing to additional screening, additional analysis as they put together their program for 22 and 23.
Okay. Anybody want to go over the smart scale? Transaction update?
Yeah. For Smart Scale, I think you just mentioned that we had submitted our application.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Transaction, that's a study that's going on right now through the NVTA, which is the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. The mayor sits on that board. And what they're doing is they're updating their long-range plan, their 2040 plan, taking a look at all of the projects that are out there. With the idea that the goal is next year, what will come out of the update is a 6-year program of projects that are funded. Right now, they're doing some additional analysis to basically incorporate some of the state screening. So basically, instead of completing this through their analysis, then running the project through a state screening, they're trying to consolidate it all into one effort. So that by the time they're done with the transaction update, it's gone all the way through and it's ready to start moving forward with programming the money.
Okay. Budget update, certainly.
So I think Jan spoke about the, kind of give you a good summary of what's occurred over the last couple weeks. And what we've done is included an attachment to this consent item, which is a draft guidance letter, which is in your packet. And that essentially is a summary of what we heard at the last commission meeting, in addition to some comments that you provided to the chair that were relayed at our boards and chair budget meeting a few weeks ago. So what we did was look to summarize that and wanted to ask the commission tonight for approval of this letter so that we may submit it to the city council with any recommended amendments that you may have. To.
I have an amendment.
Okay.
It addresses William D. Yule.
Yep. We had changed that, but apparently it didn't make it in the packet.
All right.
So.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
that
seems
right.
Like a worthy change, yes.
yeah, we got that. Just make the change here. Anybody else have any input on the changes to the letter? okay, we need a motion to... accept the letter to send the city council.
Draft motion also.
Great. Here. Yeah.
Motion that the Transportation Commission endorses the draft letter prepared by staff for the FY 2018 budget guidance to council with the changes that have been submitted.
I just highlight that there's no changes.
Oh, there are no changes?
No.
There was one change.
Yes.
One change.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'll carry that one.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay.
I attended the city council retreat, which is as John spoke, and basically... You know, the city needs a lot of money. You know, besides the WMATA bill, I mean, the city needs five schools. You know, it's Councilman Levain added it up, and it was to fund all the items on the plate there was 11.3 cents increase in real estate tax. So the city council has, I mean, it was a battle getting 3 cents last time. But, you know, we got the sewers to fix, and you know, there's a lot of things coming together there, but it's an uphill battle, just to let you know. So, okay, so let's see. Any questions on Potomac Yard Metro Rail Station? You can just give a quick update on.
Oh, sure. Yeah, FTA and National Park Service have both signed their record of decision, which is a major milestone for the city. Basically, what that allows us to do is wrap up the NEPA process, and shortly, WMATA will be releasing the RFP for the design build to keep the project moving. So that's, we're hoping in the next couple months that'll go out for bid, and then hopefully next summer, award the contract, and then start construction in late 2017, early 2018. So it's a big milestone for the city and a big accomplishment.
Right. Was the RFP open like for 90 days or something? Or?
Not sure how long it's going to be.
The RFP?
Yeah.
The whole RFP process will take approximately 9 months. They'll likely have it open for 90 days, 60 days around that
time period. All right,
that's
pretty much standard.
So next spring, we should know. It should be awarded to the design build contractor and start construction shortly after.
Okay, Old Town North Small Area Plan. Anybody want to put on that? Motor Coach Task Force.
Just a quick...
Wait.
Oh, go ahead.
Yep.
Well, I was just going to ask, could you talk a little bit about the transportation analysis?
Which, for the Old Town
yeah.
North?
Yeah,
yeah. Certainly. So that the Commission's aware, we'll be coming to you on the Old Town North plan in January to give you an update on that project. We've also come to you over the summer and kind of gave you an interim update. But essentially with that project, we are looking at a transportation analysis that is multimodal and that focuses primarily on the transit access to that site, as well as potential one-way to two-way conversion of some streets. And that's something that we'll be able to give a little bit more detail to you in terms of the transportation analysis and how that will work. But that is one of the aspects of the plan that's important to note from a transportation standpoint, in providing sort of more connectivity to the future retail streets in that plan area, and as well as additional bike and pedestrian improvements. There's also a piece of that project that's important to note, which is the NRG site, which is up for redevelopment, and that will be part of this plan process, later, likely happening with details later in the plan process in terms of what's proposed there. But that's an important, from a transportation standpoint, kind of adding a new roadway network to that site is going to be essential as part of that plan. So we'll be bringing that to you likely in January for your input, and then there might be a follow-up time where we come to you with a more finalized plan of recommendations that we'll ask for endorsement before we go to the City Council and the Planning Commission.
Have they started cleaning up that site yet? Are they
the NRG? Not yeah. yet. It's
okay.
They.
They're on their own schedule.
There's the remediation of the underground storage tanks that they're doing right now, but that's going on. There's been no dismantling of the site.
No decommissioning at this time,
okay.
But
okay.
When they do decommission the site, they'll use that rail corridor, which has been a discussion in this plan process, because that rail corridor is
used to, okay.
Will need to be used for a period of time before it's converted into another use. And I should mention, too, that this plan has a robust parking study associated with it, that we've looked at different parking occupancies as well as parking arrangements that could be developed through the plan. So that's been an important part of this process, too.
All right. Okay, any questions on the motor coach task force?
Do you want me to give up the briefing on the status of that, or do you want me to wait for the next item on the agenda for commission updates?
You can do it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
The motor coach task force had its fifth and final meeting last week. The staff proposed both short-term parking location recommendations as well as loading and unloading. We were able to come to consensus on actually all of the recommendations that staff developed, along with some modifications as far as the short-term and long-term parking. So you'll be getting the details of this, I believe it's at the January meeting?
Yeah, what we plan to do is provide a report back to the task force, and then we would move forward on a memo to the Transportation Commission with that report. So.
Okay. But we were able to, again, come to consensus on all the recommendations, and we made some additional modifications to have staff pursue for short-term parking the area over by the movie theater, the AMC theater, and
The Regal Center.
Regal Center, as well as using the Alexandria business community representatives to assist and facilitate that discussion, and also the inclusion of a traffic mitigation plan as the construction goes on in the Strand area in order to best control the parking, the loading and unloading that's going to take place in that area, and to make sure that it doesn't impact the rest of the community in that section of the town. Brought that meeting or task force to closure, and again, you'll be getting the details soon.
Okay. Any questions?
I'd just like to thank our vice chair, because he led that group and was the only group that actually kept to the number of meetings that we established at the beginning.
Oh.
And we ended early.
Get a gold
the last
star.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
and everyone agreed. I never thought we'd get there, but everyone supported all the recommendations.
Nice.
Very good.
Thank you.
That's a big deal.
Yeah,
this is round three for the task force, and I think this is the first time that you know dissenting opinions.
Good. Okay, any questions on North Potomac Yard Small Area Plan? Okay.
Well, I just want to say that I attended a meeting on Monday, and they covered transportation, affordable housing, as well as the building and density that had been talked about previously. And while the proposed densities or heights aren't what the maximum are that they could potentially do in the space one, they had some justifications for that, but I think the city interest would be served in having the most density near the metro station and as early in the process as possible. But they said, like, if the first phase is sort of a mixture of varying heights, that might be desirable, and that in the subsequent phases, when west of Potomac Avenue is developed, that the real estate valuations will be going up, and then those buildings being taller will have
being allowed to be taller.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
We'll be able to be taller and have river views and stuff like that. So one concern was that you don't want to put all the density and max building height along Route 1, but there's still enough potential to have it more towards the middle of the built out development. So
right.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Okay. Any other questions on that?
Well, just a corollary. Is the city still pursuing the special tax for the Potomac Yard area to pay for the metro?
So the short answer is yes, that's still on the table, and that was part of the funding plan for that. It's important to note, though, that as we get closer to actually awarding that design build contract for the Potomac Yard Metro Station, at that time we'll have a better idea of the cost. Certainly when we award the design build, we'll know the cost, and at that time we'll be able to better assess the funding mix that's needed for that. The tax district was established, as you may know, as part of that early process, and it was written into the ordinance, but I'm certain that if you were following the process last year, it came up quite a bit in the city council, and that was something that we wanted to make sure that we reported once we had the request for the design bill back and had a better idea what the cost was. We could reassess that again.
I'll add that it was mentioned in the intro to transportation section on Monday that there's $1.1 million as part of it for traffic calming in the area. That's a developer contribution before the first DSUP is constructed.
That is a contribution that was negotiated as part of the approval for that small area plan back in 2010. And that contribution would cover traffic calming associated with both the first phase of the development as well as the second. And as part of the small area plan process, we're looking at where traffic will and where trips will be distributed as a result of that development, and kind of doing some high level analysis of patterns through the neighborhoods. And then as a second step to that, later when the development comes online, or prior to it come online, we'll be going into the communities, into Lynn Haven, Hume Springs, and those areas, to actually engage about complete streets and what type of traffic calming is desirable for the city to install.
Okay.
Can I just make one comment related to this process, and actually your Ryan, your description of option two and the density issues. Mm-hmm. Last night. I attended the joint meeting of the Arlington County Board, Alexandria City Council, and Falls Church. And it was an interesting meeting, but the point related to this that I wanted to mention was that Dennis Leach quoted a walk share number for average walk share for Arlington metro stations at around, I want to say, 85%. So average people accessing Arlington County Metro Rail stations, 85% are using their feet. They're not getting there by car. They're not getting there in other ways. And so I wanted to highlight that because in the context of our land use design around Potomac Yard, we're really leaving a lot on the table if we support moving forward a land use program that doesn't maximize density around that metro rail station and doesn't take advantage of the fact that in Potomac Yard we should expect and strive for at least 85% walk access to this station and what that means for helping to mitigate our potential traffic impacts. And this is something I'm going to bring up when it comes to us in Planning Commission, because I have a real problem with the densities that they've been proposing. And I know that they have their personal business bottom line reasons for it. They're looking at what's going to pencil out for them in phase one and what they can build tomorrow. And we as a community have to decide, like, how do we weigh what can move forward versus what we ideally want. But it's something that I'm challenged
And the way they phrased
by.
It is that this is what they can do and deliver it all as one thing that corresponds with the opening of the metro station. If
right.
it was broken up into sub-phases of this phase one,
right.
that potentially is a different calculation,
right.
and potentially, but that would be a trade-off, you know, that the city might, you know, have pros and cons either way. So
yeah, and I haven't, you know, tried to do math on this to see what the implications are if they only can do part of this phase one. But I encourage folks, if you haven't yet, to look at that option, I guess option two land use program vis-a-vis the location of the Metro Rail station and the quarter mile and half mile walk sheds, because they're putting essentially a two-story building right next to the Metro station entrance. Two-story building. And I mean,
it's 55
this might as well be Braddock Road Metro today, you know, or King Street Metro today, which we're trying to rethink completely.
It's 55 feet, and the 2010 plan has it zoned in the for up to 120 feet.
Yep.
And then the larger parcel north of that is up to 85 feet, but it could go up to 180 feet.
Yep. And I know that they're hoping that the second phase west of this phase can make up the
right.
make up for the difference and maybe have more density, but that's not, while it could help, it's still not the same thing as building densely around the metro and then actually phasing down. I mean, we're going to end up putting different kinds of land use pressure against the neighborhoods that are further west if we try to lump all that density over there. So,
and that's further in the future as well.
And so. It's a lot further in the future, yeah. So if we're trying to get the most bang for our buck, our metro rail station buck, which is also in here, you know, it'd be great to have more property tax revenue and more people using this station, more fare box revenue at the station as soon as is humanly possible. And so I just wanted to add that little piece.
Yeah, and I think it's good that you brought that up. That did come up at the meeting on Monday, and I think one of the things that was discussed was kind of what Commissioner Jones just mentioned. Could some of the density be moved closer to the metro station? And their answer to that was simply that would require a vacant lot being so you might have, you know, in the first phase some higher or taller buildings around the metro, but then you would have right next door maybe a vacant lot for a period of time, and that was something that they had expressed that could be something that the group would have to weigh. Now,
or they could sell it to another developer
yeah.
who wants to develop
right.
it tomorrow, like NIB.
It's very long around this place.
Yeah, and
right.
I think the other thing that the commission or that the advisor group had asked was, could the buildings be built in such a way that would allow more density to be added to them? And that was an important
right.
question that kind of, they have 6 and 7 story buildings for the majority, kind of the ring, I guess, along Potomac Yard Park, but then you're right, 2 and 3 story buildings at the center of that.
Mm-hmm.
So. That was, yeah, I think it's good that you brought that up. That was something that the advisory group did talk about at that meeting.
Yeah, just to
yeah.
reinforce your point, a couple weeks ago, that article in the financial section where two of the major developers in D.C. merged
mm-hmm.
and sold off a bunch of their properties. And
Tornado and
all their,
JBG?
Yeah, 98% of their properties are within a quarter mile. And so that's
yep.
that's where they're putting their money.
Yep. Yep.
So,
if these people aren't willing to put their money there, I think it's crazy. If they're not willing to put their money in a dense, I mean,
yep.
the potential return that they could get for building to the maximum that they can build within what's reasonably appropriate for our community, but around this metro station is beneficial for them and beneficial for the metro system and for us as a community.
Where the demographics are going.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Eisenhower East Small Area Plan. Anybody have any?
I think you might be looking at an older.
Oh, that's my my older sheet.
It's not on there.
All right, that's the older sheet. Okay. Okay. Next one is the item number four, the recommendation for the 2018 congestion mitigation and air quality improvement program.
Three, we finished with three.
Commission updates.
Oh. Yeah. Right, commission updates.
Not only because I'm on the agenda, but others may have
that's right.
A few items I want to report out on. The first and probably the most significant is we're conducting interviews for the new general manager's position. There is a subcommittee for which I'm on, as well as Jan, and we have conducted our first round of interviews, and we're narrowing the field down so that when we have our December board meeting, we'll be able to conduct the final interviews and be in a position to make a final selection to bring the person on board, hopefully early in January. And Sandy Modell has offered to extend her employment with Ashner to assure a very timely transition, along with making it as seamless as possible. So we're very grateful for that. With the service realignments that took place on the 18-1 and 18-9 line, we experienced about an average of a 5% increase, which helped validate the planning model that the DASH uses, that when the services increase, they expect a corresponding increase in ridership, and this very much matched that as well. Real-time bus rollout, along with the marketing strategy that also took place over the last month, and they received very positive feedback on that. At the meeting that we had this past Monday, the capital improvement plan for FY18 was discussed, along with the preliminary submission for the 18-27 plan. And essentially, it's consistent with the direction that the commission actually provided to the city with respect to focusing the investment on improving capital infrastructure, replacement of the hybrid buses, and the facility expansion that would allow for future expansion for DASH services, particularly to support the West End development and increased service in that area. And that's essentially it.
Okay, other commission updates?
I have one. I'm a member, I'm the representative for the Eisenhower West Landmark Van Dorn Implementation Group. So that our next meeting will be Monday, November the 28th at Beatley Library, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. So I can walk there. We're going to discuss a few things. Obviously, there's going to be an overview of the West End Transitway at that meeting, so that'll be related to our work here, as well as what's going on in Fairfax County, some development process questions, and then planning for the following meeting. So I just wanted to update everybody on that and welcome them to join us.
Okay.
The Vision Zero subcommittee met today. I guess it's Jerry and I. And the proposed resolution relating to Vision Zero has been presented to various organizations within the City of Alexandria: Commission on Aging, Commission on Persons with Disabilities, BikePed Advisory Committee, Traffic and Parking Board, Federation of Civic Associations, Public Health Advisory, Alexandria Public School Board, and all provided input into the resolution. The draft resolution has been revised, and we've discussed it, and the next step is presenting it to council to get an endorsement.
Actually, we'll be bringing it back to the Transportation Commission in January.
Bringing it back to the Transportation Commission in January to get an endorsement, and then subsequently on to council.
Okay, thank you. Any other updates? Okay. I attended the budget meeting a week and a half ago with Jan, and already talked about that, so everybody knows what situation we're having.
Mr. Chair, I just have a brief announcement I want to make.
Sure.
I wanted to recognize Karen Callahan in the corner. Karen has supported the commission for the last 6 years She will be retiring at the end of the month, and I wanted to.
Congratulations.
She's been helping us for many years and has been a really wonderful support to the commission. So I just wanted to thank her and recognize her.
Thank you for your support. Yes, thank you. You've always been here, keeping things organized.
One of the former chair of the commission said to Karen, I think it was a couple months ago, he's, gosh, I wish that the planning commission got treated this well as you treat us. You know, she's helping you guys out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Next is item number 4, and we'll have a discussion, and then I'll open it up as for public comment.
All right, we're going to talk through the FY18-23 CMAQ, which is Congestion Mitigation, Air Quality, and Regional Service Transportation Program funding request for fiscal year 23. It's a 6-year program. Up till 22 has been approved already, but what we're looking for tonight is your endorsement of the list of projects that is in FY23. CMAQ and RSCP is a federal funding program that runs through the state, basically to improve, especially in urban areas, congestion mitigation and improve air quality. Regional surface transportation planning is a little bit more flexible. We can do a little bit more with it. We do a lot of studies with that type of money, basically looking at ways to improve surface transportation options and different things like that. This combination is primarily for capital on the CMAQ side, very limited ability to use it for operating, but that's kind of a quick overview. Which we'll be talking about a little bit later tonight, transportation demand management. This is one of our key funding sources for the TDM program. We'll be talking to you later about another state grant that's tied to that. This is just a quick overview of the funding that's come in over the last couple years. You'll see it changes from year to year. It's all depending on the federal formula that dictates this and what the exact number is. We're requesting in FY23 $4.3 million. As the numbers come in over time, that number may adjust some, and then eventually the state will come back and ask us where we're willing to change some things around. But this is the initial program that we start with. So we're asking basically for $4.3 million in FY23. The process basically is we're going to request your endorsement tonight, and then on November 29th we'll be taking this to City Council because we have a pretty tight turnaround to get it submitted to NVTA in December. So once that goes through, we'll have everything submitted. They'll make their determinations in the spring, which then goes to the Commonwealth Transportation Board, that's the CTB, and then it'll incorporate it into the six-year plan. But like I said, there is potential down the road that numbers will shift to match the actual real funding that's available. This is a plan a couple years out, so it's a starting point. The projects that are listed here are ranked in order of basically some prioritization that was developed, I think, by the Transportation Commission several years ago. And I'll just run through them really quickly. If you have questions about details of them, I can answer that. But West End Transway Operations, we're hoping they have the system up and running there. We are allowed to use CMAQ dollars for operations for 3 years. So that's definitely a key funding source to get the system up and running. Bus shelters, we have a program across the city to replace old bus shelters with newer ones that are more up to date, ADA compliant, and also that are pre-set up that eventually they can accommodate real-time information facilities there. Transportation demand management, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. This CMAQ money supports the program. Bike sharing pays for the capital. This is one of the ones where we can't use for operating, so we get, this money is for the capital side. Intelligent transportation system, ITS integration, that's the whole program that's been going on for a couple years in the city to coordinate the signals, lay fiber optic, to link everything together to a centralized traffic control center. Dash technology, that's basically wanting to put some money out there, so there are ongoing demands for updating technology. updating software, updating their hardware on the buses, and updating and basically another funding source to throw in the pot for Dash to be able to keep their technology up to date. Pedestrian and safety mobility enhancements on primary corridors. That's looking at some pedestrian safety improvements on the main thoroughfares through the city, for example, King Street. And then parking technologies is basically the capital side of things. What are some capital investments that can be made in parking management in the city, whether it's real-time parking information, different technology upgrades across the city. So those are the next steps, which I talked through a second ago for the immediate next steps. Are there any questions about any of the projects that have been submitted for funding? Are there planned to be submitted?
Yes. I have some unified questions, never having been through this before. First of all, there are two distinct programs with somewhat different criteria, yet we have all of them lumped together into one total. Is there some significance to the fact that the programs are different? And if so, why aren't they segregated here?
Which ones are you?
The CMAC
to?
And the R STP.
Okay, sorry. I was thinking of the literal projects. Basically, they come as a pot of money there's an estimate of. They're kind of lumped together. There are two programs that are always side by side. Submit the applications in with them together. Like I said, some of these can be paid for. Your CMAC dollars can be paid for their eligible projects, and some of them are better eligible for RSTP.
So we don't have to worry about which pigeonhole they fit into.
You don't. I mean, quickly. Typically, each project has a little bit of both. So. The majority, if not all, of these projects have the ability to have CMAC or RSTP funds applied to them. We probably broke it down, maybe made it a little bit more confusing by showing, but basically every project that we apply for here will have a mixture of both, and we don't always know what that exact mixture is going to be until the revenues come in from taxes. Tax revenue comes in, and then sometimes we get a little bit more in a given year or a little bit less, depending on how that revenue comes in.
And we do have the flexibility down the road as we get closer to the year of actually spending the money. If CMAC comes in much higher and RSTP reduces, we have flexibility to move things around. But the biggest thing is making sure they're eligible for those funds, and these projects are eligible for these two types of funds.
There's certain projects that we can apply for these funds. For instance, King Beauregard, one of our capital improvement program projects. Aspects of it could, such as the sidewalks, but right. If it's a roadway improvement, it typically doesn't fall in this group.
Correct.
How much flexibility do you have, say, 2 years out when you see one project is slipping and another one can move ahead? I mean, is that something you go back and say,
yes.
Hey, can we move?
You can.
Okay.
You can. For FY23, we just want to get the baseline in there. Also, we're adding some new projects for the first time, like the pedestrian safety mobility, West End Transway operations. Some of them are new projects. But once this gets approved into the system, we do have the flexibility to go back and move things around. There's a process that has to go through. Basically, you have to document where you want to move the funds for, justify
sure.
it. Then it goes to a subcommittee at NVTA, which is that same board that the mayor sits on. And then it goes to the full board, and then it gets approved by the state, and they'll shift the funds around for us. We generally try not to. We try to keep things as
right.
streamlined as possible, but stuff always comes up. Things always come up. So we do have the flexibility, though. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. A couple questions. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between commuter outreach and transportation demand management?
Do you want to take that? This is Gabe Ortiz. He's actually going to talk about. He's our TDM coordinator.
They both fall under TDM. Commuter outreach, I think, is more of a mix of the mobile store
Okay.
So while the name is not exactly descriptive of that, that's primarily the difference between the two. Well, TDM.
So in 18 and 21, you're going to buy a new one kind of thing?
Yeah, and by mobile store, I'll talk about this a little bit more in my presentation. Not exactly the vehicle that we're used to seeing in Arlington. What we have is a different kind of model where it's more of a, I guess best word for it is a kiosk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the actual vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, so it would be the expansion of that and continual program. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You see some of the categories here. The names are intentionally kind of generic.
Yes.
It like buys us a lot more flexibility. The more you define the project.
So you don't have to move the money, you just redefine
the
money.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of different ideas of what we can do under the bus shelter program, whether it's from trying to do real-time bus or replacing existing ones or putting up places where there aren't any shelters now.
It could be a shelter for a bus.
It's you want to keep it flexible as possible.
We need these things.
Part of the dash expansion.
That wasn't right.
Who's the attorney here?
A counter to Alan's point is that when we actually go to spend the money we have, then we have to actually be very specific.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
But for planning purposes, we keep it generic.
But when we actually go to actually starting the project, we are under a lot of state oversight, and we have to go through a lot of processes, document what we're doing with the funds and make sure they're in compliance. But yeah,
correct.
When we're putting them in the funding plan, we try to put them like we do with in a more general category. And I think one thing to call out that we added this year is the West End Transitway operations.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is allows us to offset some of that money in the budget that's set aside for that in the TIP. We have set aside prior years money for operations. But through CMAQ, we're able to get the first 3 years of operations funded through CMAQ. So this is a new thing for us, and we're excited about it because it hopefully will take a little bit of pressure off the TIP.
Yeah, Carrie's right. When you go to implement a project, there's an RFP that's very detailed. It's not just a blank check. So sorry, I want to put the impression out there that it's just a blank check we spend willy-nilly. So sorry.
I just have a follow-up question because it interrelates. And maybe you will talk about it more in your presentation. But in FY23, the funding for transportation demand management drops substantially. And in my experience, that is problematic for an organization. So I'm wondering what the purpose is behind that and what the ramifications are to the continuation of program. You will have like steadily maintained or improved mm-hmm. services, and then you're going to ask them to cut services by a fifth or something? Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. I'm glad you raised that. I think, and you'll see in a couple of other areas, we did similar, like with bus shelters, we did come down slightly in that request with bike sharing.
But a bus shelter is like we won't build more this year, but outreach and services are things where you develop relationships and you have to maintain.
Yes. And I think the good thing about the TDM program is this is one of the sources, but we do have a couple, one of which we come to you tonight with, which is a completely different funding source outside of this.
Okay.
The other thing I want to point about the TDM program is we do have some prior year funds that we need to spend, and so we have a little bit of a different situation with our TDM versus some of our other programs where we don't have that at all.
Okay.
In fact, most of our programs, we don't have that.
Right.
With Complete Streets, we did outline to you that we had some prior year funds, and those are nearly spent down. So it's a little bit different. That particular program has a little bit different of a funding mix.
Okay.
And I too. Comment slash question. I'm glad to see proposed funding sources for pedestrian safety mobility. I mean, that seems to tie in with the recent bike ped plan. And a big concern was implementation of the bike ped plan. So thank you for allocating funds towards implementation. And then I was wondering why bike sharing was decreased. I know my old town has more than enough capital bike sharing sites, but the West End, I think, is pretty short. So
you'll see.
I'm wondering why.
You'll see starting in 18, we have almost 700,000. And then we do have prior year dollars. We have dollars from fiscal year 17 that we're not going to be able to spend because we don't have the operating dollars to support the. So you'll what you're going to likely see is around a funding plan for around 10 stations per year with this program, with the prior year added, around 10 stations a year, which will allow us to go to the West End. Starting in fiscal year 2023, then we started getting to the situation where we're replacing our existing stations and bikes. And so that's, the CMAQ is good in that it allows us to spend that funding on that function, but that function is going to be less than us purchasing new stations because we will be replacing the stations that we put in 2012, which were 8 stations. So it's, the cost is lower than adding a whole new, you know, facility for 12 new
and
stations.
By about that time, we should pretty much have implemented all the stations that were identified in the cut bike plan. Mm-hmm.
But key also is the operating aspect.
The operating aspect is
implementing.
Important.
I mean, mm-hmm. you need the station and you also need the
Yeah. And that's where the TIP comes in, which has been funding that thus far.
I have a couple more questions. I'm still trying to understand, to have a little bit of intuition about the thinking here. It looks to me like this is a bit of a top-down process, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what you've done is you've looked at the high ends on these typical amounts and sort of used that as your target request. 4.3 million, and then decided how you would sprinkle that amount among various things that are on the list. Is that basically the way you go about this?
That's the funding pot that we start with 4.3. We don't always know if we're going to get, because you'll notice each year the revenues come in differently. I would say that the list that we're working from is the list that we've received through the master planning process and through the Transportation Commission. So we have made 2 additions to the list that are new this year that are different from prior years. That I think it's good that you called this out to notify the commission. One is the West End Transit Way and one is the pedestrian. And
I see that.
And those both come from West End Transit Way coming from the recently adopted Alpert alternative. And the pedestrian safety is from those case study areas that were in the ped bike plan.
But you're working within the range of what is likely to be approved.
Yes.
So my next question is this. Looking at the fiscal year 22 number at 4 million mm-hmm. and the fiscal 23 number at 4.3, I understand that the 23 number is not yet approved.
Right.
Suppose, is the difference that the 22 number is approved?
It is.
What does that mean? Are we confident that we will actually get that amount of dollars?
Let me preface that a little bit. It's approved in the sense that every year we come to you and then to the council to get approval for that particular year. So this year it's 2023 and last year it's 2022. But what your question is indeed will that revenue come in as we have projected? And I think in prior years, we have had that to be the case.
Yes.
And in some situations, we have, for instance, for this fiscal year that we're currently in, last spring, the state came to us and said, look, we actually have slightly more revenue.
Right.
We need you to distribute that between the different projects mm-hmm. that you've already gotten approval from your council.
Right.
So we had to adjust at that time. It wasn't a substantial amount of funding. It was, but that does happen probably 3 to 4 months before the fiscal year starts. So to answer a question, we might have that situation in fiscal year 2022. They
right.
might come to us and say, look, it's not 4.3, it's going to be 4.4. Hopefully it's higher.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's what gets adopted here is in the 6-year state plan. And as we know, with all revenue sources, it could come in higher, it could come in lower, but we will, like Carrie said, we won't know until kind of the spring before what that real number is, but these numbers are created with guidance from the state.
But they're nowhere near pie in the sky, because these are numbers where you're actually experiencing these things.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Last question.
Yes.
Are you, the recommendation you're asking for from us tonight, is it just the 4.3 number, or are you asking us to recommend the distribution as shown on the table as well?
The distribution as well, both of those.
Does the council have to pass on the distribution?
They will have to pass on the same thing that we're asking you, which is approval to apply for these projects for fiscal year 2023.
When this goes through the next higher level of authority at Northern Virginia, will they be scrutinizing your distribution of the funds as well?
Yeah, they'll look at that.
To some extent, yes.
The positive is that we've worked within like roughly this list for a while, and they're familiar with these projects, mm-hmm. and they see performance on these projects because we're actively doing them today. And then if we will typically provide them more explanation as to why we're asking for West End Transit Way and why we're asking for the new ped bike money.
Right.
So that will help justify what we're doing.
Thanks a lot. That's very helpful. Now I know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, on many of these projects for this funding, they'll have a regional meeting, and then sometimes I'll go and make my pitch to Alexandria needs their share, and so does everybody else. So that's but they usually don't question the way it's set up, but that's how that works.
Before we make a motion or whatever, I have a couple more questions.
Yeah, and just a quick reminder that we do this is a public hearing. Just so,
okay, it's a public hearing, but do we have to ask if the public?
We need to open
as soon as we're done with our discussion.
Okay, discussion, then hearing,
yeah.
then more
yes.
discussion?
Then motion.
If you choose.
If we choose. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Sorry, my protocols are rusty. One with the bike share is the anticipated program the rate of improvements. So I really appreciated your questions about operations, and you're pointing out that some of these things, like the ability to expand the system today, is being impacted by the ability to operate the system today. This is an ongoing challenge.
Yes.
And so I guess one piece of my question, which is big picture, is how are these programmatic, I guess, and by programmatic I mean FY 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, for each of the things that we care about here, being calibrated to an understanding of potential flows for operations to go along with the improvements, and where possible are both things being coupled together, where you want to build a bus shelter, but we're also building in there the cost to maintain the bus shelter, and that's like probably a really overly simple example, because we want to make sure, and I think City Council is interested in making sure that as we plan out these great things, that we have some way to support them later on, and we don't end up stuck in more deep budget holes. So that's, I guess, a big picture question, and then a teeny add-on question to that relates to bike sharing in particular, which is that sponsorship has come up regionally as a potential source of revenue for the bike share system that can help close the operating gap for that, maybe expansion gap for that. Is that factored at all into this? Because this seems like that might occur in this window of planning time that we're all looking at here. Is that factored in at all?
That's a good question. So maybe I'll start with answering the second, and then I'll go to the first. So for both the sponsorship as well as private contributions and TMP contributions, transportation management plan contributions that would come in through new development, all of those things will be factored into the operating side of bike share. We're looking at that actually right now, and that would be something that would be housed within the transportation improvement program, which is as part of the budget. So we'll be presenting that to you when the city manager releases the budget. But that being said, it was a bit of a challenge last year when we developed that, because through the add-delete process, the council did add funding for bike share for us to get operating for 32 stations. It wasn't actually presented in, I'm trying to remember the history of how
in the original
evolved there, but
it wasn't in
the original
budget.
Yeah, and part of the reason for that is because We had this increased ask for WMATA several years, not this past year, but the year before that, that really impacted our budget severely, and we had to make not just adjustments to capital bike share, but to right. DASH and to different areas in order to, and so we're going to have a similar dynamic like that this year again.
Right, right.
So it's good that you're bringing it up, but let's all keep in mind that the last year's budget, bike share was funded for 10 years in the TIP for 32 stations. So that money is in our budget today. The challenge that we're going to have...
It might not be tomorrow.
Yeah. The challenge that we're going to have is how we balance the bike share operating with all this $6.5 million gap in WMATA funding. And that's kind of the issue that we have. But we are looking at the TMPs, the revenue coming in from the potential advertisement on the stations or on the bikes themselves, and sponsorship, and then private contributions that could offset. So we're making some adjustments to what our projections are for the operations.
So in here, before we get to the big
yeah,
picture question,
yeah.
In here, is it that that you can't get bike share operating
correct.
Funding out of this
CNAP,
source?
Yes, yeah,
okay, but we can get West End Transitway operating funding?
Because it's the first 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
CMAT has a very specific...
So it's just first 3 years of
the
thing.
The city was never eligible for that because DC got...
Did the first 3 years?
Yeah.
Aww.
And we actually tried to tag on to that. But
Okay, well that clarifies things for me. And so that's true of all these things. If it were
it
the
is.
First 3 years of a service, it could qualify, but not after that. Okay.
The operating funding is a challenge for us to...
Yeah, and so I guess that, I mean, because it is... It's problematic to me, and this is the nature, I guess, of the pots of money, that you have to go to one pot to build it and a different pot to operate it, because we're out there seeking funds, but you can't incrementally support like this growth of the system from one fund and get that assurance in both ends that you're going to be able to run it. You have to hope both ends come through in their own processes. And my big fear with this is that there's so much pressure on the TIP this year that things might happen, and operating funds for various things may not be fully funded to match up with the kinds of capital requests we're making.
Yeah, it's definitely it is without changing certain aspects of the way that WMATA is funded, it does present a challenge.
Okay, any other discussion? No? Okay, we'll proceed to the public hearing. Okay, the public hearing is called the meeting to order. The speaker forms for the public hearing item might be found on the table near the meeting documents. If you wish to speak at the public hearing docket item, please fill out a form and give to the staff at the table. And I'll call your name when it's your turn to speak. And we use the 3-minute rule and notify you when the 3 minutes up. Do we have any speakers? Okay, the public hearing is closed. Now, any other discussion before we make a motion to approve the request? Okay. Second.
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Transportation Commission approves the list of the CMAQ RSTP project funds or projects for FY18 through FY23 as proposed by staff.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Okay. Okay. Finally made it to you.
All right.
TDM operations grant.
Okay, so I'm here tonight to talk a little bit about our TDM program and to get endorsement from the Transportation Commission for our fiscal year 18 TDM op grant. So before we kind of get into details of that, I'll do a little primer or a little reminder of what TDM is. I think the biggest takeaway from this slide is, especially when we're talking budget and funding, is TDM is probably the most low-cost way for the city to move people. Additionally, probably the best way for the city to maximize its investments in some of these projects that we're talking about tonight, such as Cabby, the Potomac Area Metroway and Metro Station, which will be coming online soon, West End Transitway, One thing I always like to stress is the build it and they will come kind of ideas, sometimes unrealistic. So we do need programs to help encourage the use of the infrastructure, a lot of the infrastructure we spoke about tonight. We have some data here from the state of the commute. At this point, we only have regional results. We will be getting more specific city of Alexandria results no later than February, as I've been told. And this is from the state of the commute that MWCOG does every 3 years. It's a pretty large-scale survey that they do of the region. So as you can see, some of the good news here is that the SOV has reduced since the just about every year that the survey has been done. And what I've noticed, at least for the last few, that the city data pretty much runs parallel to the regional data. So when we get that info sometime, hopefully in February, we can take a closer look. But these are pretty good initial results.
That's good.
Yeah, so pretty encouraged by that. I think we have some more information here from State of Commute, this specifically on teleworking, which I think saw the largest jump in terms of usage from 2013. So there's a looks like a 27% increase. I think as you see technology get better, as you see some of these certain attitudes about working from home change, we'll see that number continue to increase. And as a TDM program, we hope to work on this a lot more, especially in the upcoming fiscal year. And we also have a chart here stating which modes of transportation were had the highest satisfaction amongst those surveyed. No surprise, Metrorail is not doing too hot, so hopefully that'll change after our safety surges. But overall, we did see increases among most modes and telework. So in speaking to how we change behavior and how we inform and educate here, a few things that we do as a program. This is just a quick sample. We do have other programs, but I wanted to highlight these. In particular, we have a pretty active e-news that we send out every month to over 6,500 subscribers. The e-news is full of both regional and local information on commuting and transportation. We work with real estate to send out new homeowner packets. They send us a list every month, and we put together a nice little folder full of information. We have a nice little salesy letter that we send to everybody, and so our goal there is to get to people before they start building those quote-unquote bad habits about driving alone, and somebody's on the fence about how they can get to work or get around the city, we hopefully can get to them with some information to help their decision.
I still remember getting mine.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you if you got one.
4 years ago?
Yeah.
Whenever it was when we moved here.
Yeah,
but, and I was like, oh! Yeah. Admittedly, I work in this industry, but
yeah, exactly.
I was really excited.
So, yeah, that's the reaction we want. So.
Yeah, that's great.
We also have a newsletter that we send out twice a year. Focus on folks within about a quarter mile of the metro stations in the city. Last year, we sent out about 26,000. Very informative, but it's also just a great way for people to see our name and see our brand. And speaking of our brand, we just had a big change in our program. I think most of you remember the Locomotion name and kind of look and feel. Well, we have moved on from that, and we are now Go Alex. Some of the thinking behind the change, we'd had Locomotion for about 7-8 years. We think it served us well, but the new brand, as you can tell, a lot more energetic. Very easy to tell what we do when you look at both the logo and the name. It's also very obviously Alexandria-centric. So we think it's going to really help propel us and help make us a lot more recognizable in the market. So the next steps for the program, or I'm sorry, for Transportation Mission, we will ask for endorsement of the application for the fiscal year 18 TDM op grant that we that's administered by DRPT. The program pays for both programming, some salary, staff salary. It's a fiscal year grant, so we will start July 1st of fiscal year 18. Hopefully after this evening, we'll be going in front of council with the same presentation and information and getting their okay on both the city match and the actual grant itself.
Okay, anybody have any questions?
So the grant is 2040-942.
Yes.
Matched by 6235 for a total budget, operating budget of 301177.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. And is there any other detail that you want us to look at or think about beyond the total?
I think at this point, this grant serves kind of more, as you guys have noticed, the bulk of our programming comes from the CMEC, NRSD funding that we get. This grant primarily pays again for staff salaries and then some of the more administrative sides of the, it's kind of the more boring side of the shop. So at this point, it's, I think we're going on well over our 15th year applying for this. The one thing I guess to keep in mind, as Carrie mentioned, we pretty much stable for what we ask for every year. As we grow the program, one thing I want to mention, DRPT, the grantor, is developing performance measures for us. As we can tell our story a lot better and kind of display our return on investment, we'd like to grow the program eventually, maybe ask for more than what we get every single year, and this could be another funding source that can supplement some of those later years that we're seeing where CMAC money might not be where it's historically at.
Okay, and so in past years, you're basically asking for the same staff?
For the most part, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, gotta look to the future.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
you don't get what you don't ask for, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think we can position the program to get to that point. We should be on our way to doing that.
I apologize for, maybe this is a stupid question that goes back to me not understanding what money is used for what. For you to do better evaluation of your program, where does that money come from? Is that CMAC? Is that DRPT?
It's kind of a unique situation. There have been the last couple years we have required to use both funding from this grant and had suggested use funding from our CMAC grant for something along the lines of investigating how we can develop some performance measures, and it's been one of those, we're working on it from DRPT, hold off for now, and that, unfortunately, it's been a couple of years.
Okay, so they haven't been willing to give you money for evaluation.
Essentially, yeah, and their response has pretty much been, we are developing these for the jurisdictions that are grantees.
And, the performance measures.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so I understand that, but like, let's say you want to do a targeted outreach campaign.
Yeah.
And you need an extra staff person to do that for a limited term. So it's not an FTE, it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
What you'd ideally want is to say, we have this target population, or maybe it's a target area. Maybe it's in conjunction with one of these planning processes that's going on. Maybe it's Old Town North. Maybe it's North Potomac Yard and anticipating. Something that's happening. You could say, we need this person for 6 months to do this kind of work with that community, and then we need to have the resources to allow them to pre and post evaluation of their work with that community.
Mm-hmm.
Will DRPT fund a package like
that? Yeah, especially, and that's where we are kind of fortunate, where both this TDM operating and the CMAC funding is flexible for us to do something like that. And because it's more specific, let's say, to a certain area or a certain project, yeah, we would have no problem. I'm pretty sure we wouldn't. I mean, I would have no problem submitting it. I think we would be, we'd be successful in getting funding for something real similar to this.
Good.
Yeah.
I encourage you, not seeing what, the meat and potatoes are in these two grant asks, this one here for DRPT and what appears over here in CMAC, TDM. I encourage you to think about, annoying jargon word, synergies between a targeted service program or trial that you could do and issues or challenges that Alexandria is facing or future changes that we're looking forward to. Mm-hmm. So it might take a little bit of time, but the Potomac Air Metro Rail Station is ripe at this point.
Metro Rail is the first thing that came to mind.
Right, it's going to go under construction, and then you've got to anticipate when it's going to open.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, while we hope that they can fix the land use program near it before that's finalized, if Metro is still digging itself out of its performance hole, it may need your support in getting people on it and comfortable and supporting the businesses that are going to open around it. Mm-hmm. And so that could be an area where you could focus grant writing time so that you can have a nice package of requests there that fits in with both DRPT and CMAQ, and you can get a bump there at that time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the added benefit to that, too, is just exposure. If we can kind of piggyback on some of these high-profile
And
projects.
The same with the Western Transit Way is a great example, mm-hmm. Because that's a community that has never had a service like a prime transit service before that's necessarily, in theory, going to be more convenient and faster and more reliable and all of that. And so that's another area where figuring out who your audience is, and then another angle to look at is that there may be target populations in Alexandria that aren't getting the support that they need, mm-hmm. are going to suffer because of some other budget cut that City Council has to think about. So, while back to your very first point of how cost-effective TDM is, it's also, I think, one of the key values that Arlington experiences with TDM is that it's a relationship builder with the community.
Yeah.
And you're like the happy face.
Yeah.
And where a lot of people interact with city staff and interact with government in a negative way because they're being taxed or they're being cited or they're being told they need to buy a permit, you're going out there and providing them a friendly face and information and support.
Yeah.
And so there could be populations or areas in Alexandria that could benefit from that too.
Yes,
and so you
could
help put a good face on Alexandria when other things maybe not turning out great for the community.
Yeah. No, that's great.
I really like the rebranding, and I think it is going to be a draw. I find it a lot more catchy than Locomotion.
Yeah.
And along those lines, I was just taking notes, benefiting lower income people. How I think you're saying outreach to lower income people. And my focus, obviously, living on the west side of Quaker Lane, is, you know, there are huge swaths of land that aren't serviced by Metro. Mm-hmm. And so my notes here are about how about more outreach for Dash and providing people with information of how you can hop on and off Dash to get where you need to go. And, you know, not the letter that's going just to Metro-centric households, why not provide some outreach to people who only have public transportation mm-hmm. access via Dash or MATA or the WMATA buses.
Sure.
You know? And then I have questions. Where's the Go Alexandria website and e-news? I don't, you know, information on how you even get to that.
Yeah, it's the e-news is, you know, I think there's several dozen categories that you can sign up for, and it's all through the exact same way. Yeah. I think it's...
We can send, if it would be helpful, we can send...
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head what the URL
is. Well, there's a link where you can go and sign up for any e-news that you want to receive. And one of them would be Go Alex, if you mm-hmm. choose.
Okay. But, yeah. I mean, do lots of people know about that?
So we have how many subscribers around?
Right now, 6,500. I think it's the most in the city. So because we're unique in mm-hmm. the sense that we have a lot of our resources going to marketing, I mean, we should have that many, probably a lot more. But, you know, again, that's why we think with this new brand, which is about a month old or young, we feel it's going to help in that respect, would be more recognizable, something people are going to gravitate more as opposed to to what we had before. So,
so when we have these events where we set up at, like, there's a list, I believe, in the annual report that you recently provided of all the events. So it's around 40 events a year that we go to. And then we have our commuter kiosks where we also approach people and then get them to sign up for these so that they can get the information. But it's a good point. With the new brand, we want to make sure that we're reaching as many people as possible and kind of getting that brand out there.
And to kind of back that up a little bit more, we're working for the first time with a true tried advertising company this year. And they're really pushing us in a direction we've never been before in terms of advertising, promotion, and just general marketing communications. And we felt, you know, that was part of the reason why we went with them, was because I think we've always been missing that element to this. And so much of what we do is behavior change. So,
well, how about including promoting Dash, not just the metro stops?
Yeah, in fact,
go Alexandria.
This is one of those things where only like a graphic designer would notice, but we incorporated the Dash colors into the logo,
mm-hmm.
the exact same colors. So, I mean, I know that's not the biggest thing, but that's always on our radar.
Mm-hmm.
And we always could do better, but yeah, we definitely will be incorporating our messages with Dash a lot more.
And then my other question is, you had on a chart that this benefits lower income people, and I just wonder how.
I think primarily with the incentives that we offer through Capital Bike Share, incentives that we offer with our CarShare Alexandria program, CarShare Alexandria program, which essentially will pay for the membership of anyone to use Zipcar or Enterprise CarShare.
Do people know? I mean, do lower income people know? How do they get that information?
In terms of surveying the actual demographics of who's seeing ours, so whether we know they're lower income or not, that's not exactly something we have right at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
But primarily by that bullet, what we meant is the incentives we offer to make transportation a little more easier to use. We feel kind of benefits that demographic.
And I don't want to generalize, but
they couldn't afford to have a private automobile and pay the gas associated with that.
I mean, a lot of people in the West End, I'm generalizing here, but it seems a lot of people in the West End, especially even beyond 395,
mm-hmm.
not really Center City, but
mm-hmm.
there are parts of the West End that aren't served by Metro that could really benefit from a program like Capital Share. I mean, these are, you know, kids that probably don't even have bikes. And but getting that information, getting our stations on the West End and getting information out about, you know, that you can be provided a subsidy to
mm-hmm.
get where you need to go via bike. I mean, but obviously that's way in the future if you don't even have the bike share
out
stations.
There, right. No, but I mean, it applies to, you know, we do work with Dash to promote their summer pass for students. I know that's one thing that we aggressively push out when it does come throughout the summer, and I know that's helpful to a large group of folks.
Is that lower income or is that any students? Because like, I have two school-age kids, and
It's all students.
I think one of the other elements...
See, I don't know about any of this.
I think one of the other... This is good. It sounded like there's an opportunity for us to come back and really give you a really in-depth delve into what the programs we have now, what we have planned, because CarShare Alexandria, these different ones that we're hearing, it's like, okay, this is a new,
and that's for
getting it out there.
But
and
how about in
just
the Gazette?
Yeah.
I mean, the Gazette and the Times, how about ads in either the Gazette or the Times just letting citizens know that, you know, everyone, those in Center City,
sure.
at least, we get
yeah.
those on our driveway Thursday and Friday. Every, you know, so I mean, that is, and those are things I look through on a regular basis.
I mean,
there's different ways to get information out there.
Yeah, no, these are great suggestions.
And then I know that most of the Gazette and the Time, they're normally in the libraries too, for people to pick up.
Yeah, we do have retail partners where we provide, you've probably seen them around, where we have like a stack of brochures that folks can pick up with the Dash ride guide and the
mm-hmm.
Capital Bike Share maps and different things. But that's a good suggestion about the newspaper.
Yeah, the more traditional. We're working with kind of a nice, real slick advertising firm now. They're actually throwing a lot of really great ideas with us, but it's always good to probably also keep an eye on. And we have great relationships with the Gazette and local
mm-hmm.
newspapers, so yeah.
And then like lower income people who don't even have computers, I mean, computers in the libraries are always used. I mean, just having information in the computer rooms of each library or near the computer where they have to sign up for computers. I mean, so then they could access the website or...
Yes.
Do you ever bring a kiosk out to the West End? I mean, outside of metro stations, I see them at Van Dorn. Bunch of times, do you bring the kiosk elsewhere, like Southern Towers or?
Yeah, I know we've been to Beatley a few times this year. Not totally
Southern
the West End, but close.
That's the West
getting
End.
Out there. Yeah, we've worked with the West End Business Association as well for a few events they had. They had a food truck event not too long ago where we were at, and with that, actually, as far as our outreach numbers, it was a great event. So, admittingly, we always could do more. We do sometimes gravitate towards our corridor of metro stations, and but we definitely have an eye on the West End, and I can get actually more information in terms of exactly where we go West End-wise, but it is something we always emphasize in terms of our outreach.
Yeah, sure. Like maybe like Alan said, we could have a more detailed presentation one day, and you could bring that out for us.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Southern Towers would be a good spot.
So Dash recently launched their real-time bus tracking tool. So, you know, I think that if you had that on a tablet or some sort of demonstration to show people how to navigate it, you know,
yeah,
it really, you know, attracts a crowd walking by or something like that as something high tech and nifty.
Yeah, we definitely have pushed that through our marketing channels, whether it's our website, Facebook, our e-news, prominently figured on that for several running months. So, but yeah, that's a good idea.
You said it's on the Facebook. You have a Facebook page?
Yeah, we do. Yes. Yeah. We do have a Facebook page.
And they have a thing on the site about, you know, eventually opening it up with an API to third-party developers. So that would enable...
It looks like they're on transit already.
Yeah, right. They are.
Yeah.
Transit app has been
rough. It does mean that you're going to wait 43 minutes for the next AT5, but, well, at least it says that.
Because I've seen, you know, apartment complexes and, like, coffee shops and stuff will just have the stops right outside their door. You know, and then just have that on all the time as to the next buses coming up or something like that.
Yeah.
So, and that's not even, you know, something that the city doesn't even have to buy. It's just, you know, maybe like a how-to
creating the access
like
to it. Yeah.
How frequent do the e-newses go out, and is it more like service information or like the offerings, or do you like how-tos on there?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. So they're monthly.
They're monthly.
Yeah, we've had a bit of a delay because of the rebranding. Mm-hmm. But they're monthly, and they literally include, we steal a lot from Arlington, and mm-hmm. their mobility lab, which is their kind of research arm for TDM. So it's everything from regional updates to, MBTA surveys that are out there. It's, we kind of keep it to about 4 to 5 different stories.
Okay.
We try to push BPAC stuff as much as we can, farmers market, I forget her name that did the, we were helping her out a lot throughout the summer. So yeah, I mean, it ranges from the smallest thing to big.
I'll be signing up just out of curiosity. But
yeah, I guess the request to staff is definitely schedule a follow up, more detailed presentation about your program.
Sure,
so
that'd be great.
Can learn about.
Yeah, about 3 years ago, he went into detail about TDM, what is it, how does it work, and all that, and it was an eye-opener for me, because I was sort of a new guy then, so.
Yeah, no, that would be a great opportunity, yeah, sure.
I need a refresher. So.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Things are changing.
Okay, do we have any more discussion? Number three,
sure. Mr. Chair, I move that the Transportation Commission endorses the 2018 TDM Operation Grant application to the Department of Rail and Public Transportation and recommends approval of required city matching funds.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried? Okay. That's done.
Thanks, Gabe.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Other business. I got a couple things, but who else has other business? Look how early it is. Oh, I drag this on.
I'm being efficient.
It's okay.
Makes up for the late times.
Somebody has to catch a bus, just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
not to mention.
Okay, there's no December.
I left my phone, so I don't know what the app is for the or the time for the 8. I think it's quarter of.
Which bus do you need?
The 8, but...
I got you.
Okay. Oh, you got me covered?
I got you.
Oh, no, I'm good then.
You're
thank
good.
You.
Very much. Okay. Right. Either right by my
fellow commissioner, I can stay a little later.
Right. We're a taker. Okay, we have no December meeting because we couldn't come up with anything that would give us a quorum. So, plus, we didn't have
vacation.
Happy holidays.
Yeah.
So, we didn't, we didn't have that much on the agenda that really had to be done. So, you know. Vacation. Everybody has time there. Okay, the we'll have elections in January, so the chair and the vice chair will be up for election. So if anybody's interested, let me know so I can, you know, have the nominations. If I don't get anything. Always a lot of competition for these jobs.
Yeah, everybody's fighting for them.
Yeah, yeah.
It pays really well. You know?
Well, yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's okay. It's rewarding for me. So, okay. The one thing is at our Vision Zero meeting that we brought up with Steve is, you know, that's going to City Council in February. My concern is, you know, Steve discussed, you know, it might be some money to, you know, get the action plan started. But for FY18, and there's a tight window there, and with money is tight, you know, I'm worried about being able to do anything in FY18. It's, you might pass that on to Jan that, you know, here we got this new program that it's all about safety, you know, as everybody knows. So, you know, we might get it started with some FY17 money, but for 18, there's nothing in the budget right now, and the way the budget looks, it's really going to be tight. So, I mean, that bothers me. I don't know if you might bring that up to Jan, and I mean, I can sit down with him and talk to him, but
I can certainly pass that on, and I also think when we come to you again, when we come to the commission again on the budget, that might, I mean, if the commission feels that that's a priority, that's something they probably should, in our next communication with council, emphasize. So when we present the budget to you and you don't feel that that's sufficient, that amount is sufficient, because it would be within the Complete Streets budget that would pay for Vision Zero activities. So you feel that that's not sufficient, then that would be the time to...
Well, yeah, I knew that there is money in Complete Streets in 17 to get something started.
To start the action plan.
But I'm not sure I want to take that out of Complete Streets for 18.
Right,
I mean,
that
just takes away some of the projects that are, you know,
safety projects. To your point, it would need to be, if it was, so what I would suggest is when the budget comes out to look, because if Complete Streets is broken down, expenditures are broken down by project, and to look at, you know, what is proposed and whether that's sufficient for what the priorities of the commission are.
Unfortunately, that might, I mean, there's other sources. It'd be tough to get money from that since they've already asked for, you know, 5%.
Yeah.
What are you going to do if you took a 5% cut?
It's going to be a tough budget year.
Yeah. Anyway, concern.
Yes.
So, pass that on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I had. Anybody else?
I want to. So, we have a parking study starting up fairly soon. It's the commercial parking ratio study, just like the residential ratio study that was done a couple years ago.
Okay.
And the there's a advisory committee that's part of that study that will be reconvened. The transportation commission representative was no longer on the Carrie Donnelly was the representative for the transportation commission, so we'll need a new person to replace him on this committee.
On the parking study committee?
This is the study that'll be looking at the parking ratios for commercial development.
We did that's study. Right. He was on the committee, and then it ended, and now we're restarting
it. We did that with the first phase. We're starting the second phase, which is related to commercial. That first phase was on the residential land uses.
Okay.
So,
and that committee is composed of, like, a representative from the Planning Commission, representative from the Transportation Commission. It's a good opportunity for any of the...
Somebody doesn't have a job right now?
But I do have a list of all the various subcommittees that everybody's on.
Yeah.
It's a good opportunity for anyone that's interested in both the development review side of what the city does, because what it does is change the law, likely would change the law for parking requirements.
Yes.
The actual zoning ordinance.
Yes.
Basically, life size, the parking.
So when
yeah,
is that starting up? When would we need to?
So we don't need you to act on this tonight, but we just want to introduce this and
so everybody think about it.
So people
right.
can think about it, unless you feel that it's urgent.
I think, well, it depends on when the actual starts. Yeah. I think Katie did want to get a name.
She wanted a name. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
we're introducing it tonight. I mean, if somebody if they can commit to it now, that would be lovely. But if you want to consider it and
if you want to think about it, you can follow up with Jerry, and then he could get back to me.
Yes.
You could throw your name into Jerry.
Yeah, how many meetings?
Yeah, how many meetings? How long? Kind
of thing. I don't know if we've actually identified the number of meetings.
Probably not.
I would say that it's more of a commitment, let's say, than the motor coach group, because it is considering an ordinance change at the city. So I would say approximately
eight meetings at a rate of twice a month?
Once a month at the most.
Once a month,
and
eight meetings?
It likely won't start for a few months, so there's a little bit of time to wait.
So I'm potentially interested, because this is something that I'm interested, but not sure if it's like quite appropriate, because this is something like I can talk with staff some more, and I can talk with you some more.
Well, they know more about it than I do, so.
Because I'm on like the core staff work group for Arlington's residential version of this. We're using Alexandria's efforts as one of the informing example jurisdictional approaches to how these things are done. I was at the tail end of it involved in Arlington's commercial version of this. So I have a lot of opinions and a lot of knowledge of how these processes go. But I also don't know if that's like the right input to have from either the Transportation Commission, or you said that you needed a Planning Commission rep too, so that's its own challenge, right, Dave?
But I don't know if the Planning Commission already has a rep.
Because the group convened for the residential portion already, we do have an existing group, so the folks that were serving on that will go back to them.
Who is that for Planning?
I believe it was Nate Masek.
Okay, yeah. So he could potentially, okay. But then would you want a Planning Commission person who's on TC to be the other?
That's fine.
I think I don't think that's
inappropriate at all.
Yeah. Okay, so let's continue to talk about it.
Yeah, and I can also put you in contact with Katie North, because she'll be managing this, and she can give you a lot more information.
That would be good, yeah. You can get a better feel for...
Get a feel for the more detail we want.
Right.
We can talk
to Alexandria dynamic. It's important stuff, because it really, really impacts
the
feasibility of development projects and how we generate traffic.
And it's changing. You know, that parking ratio thing is changing. So you have to. It's not what it is now. You have to project what it should be in the future, and that impacts the developers. And you know, it's
when would it go into effect?
Well, likely, typically what would happen is however long the process takes, City Council would act on it, then it would go into effect almost immediately, but it would only apply to future development, so the new projects coming in would be told, as of this date, you have to, for you.
No, once, yeah.
You these now apply to you, so.
But it would affect, like, Potomac Yard.
Mm-hmm. It could affect developments coming in through the Potomac Yard North.
So,
process.
Yeah, once City Council
and anywhere in the
approves
city
that would probably be a year from now by the time they get around to approving it. Yeah, I'm just guessing. But yeah.
No, that sounds roughly right if they said eight meetings at one meeting a month.
Right. And from that point, then yeah, the developers would have a new ratio to work from. Yeah.
Pre metro station. So that's interesting.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, any other input? Business motion to adjourn.
I'll carry it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Everybody!
Hi. I'm not even going to ask about
it. Yeah, I don't think
thanks,
you need all
Jerry.
Nobody wants to.
I thought the point.